see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokers Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Is this about the time that you went home?
I won this group day rose.
Oh, he's preening right now. He's trying to hold back the pride, but it's not working.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Claire, I was just thinking back to some of my best first dates. And you know that very classic tradition of like making out in the shower?
That's the best part of a first date, usually find.
It's like how you know, is it going well? Is it not? Like, how hot is the water? How hot is the make out?
Listen, I like showering. I like making out. And
why not combine it?
If I meet a guy who feels the same way, that's how I know I found the one.
Well, to join us to discuss a lot more about showering and dating and cuddling and also, you know, Colton's virginity, we're joined by our very good friend of the pod, Derek Puff.
I like that I get to be a friend of the pod now.
Yeah, we're just upgrading everyone to friend of the pod now, yeah.
He is, of course, a one-time Bachelorette contestant and also a co-host of the Bachelor podcast.
Yeah, competitive.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
As I didn't expect, I used to be like an enemy of the pod.
Yeah, now that you're a fellow pod person, you know, we have to come after you.
I like to think of us all lifting each other up as podcasts.
There we go.
There's a lot of anti-podcast rhetoric out there right now.
It's the people who don't have podcasts. That's who it is.
Those are the enemies.
Would
the
you
real
say,
enemies.
Claire, that we're stronger together?
I would. Yeah. Unity is my message.
I love it. I can be on board with this.
Until people start switching from our podcast to another podcast.
Then there's no unity.
And then the claws come out. So we really have to dive right into this episode.
Two rose ceremonies.
Mm-hmm. We were plunged right back in after a cliffhanger. There's no easing into this episode.
No, it's just like, remember that women were fighting and Colton was pacing upsettingly on the beach?
And you know what's
it's
crazy
still happening.
Is that I had forgotten.
Right.
I had to. But just as one does in a suit on the beach, you know, in dress clothes.
You have to pace.
Yeah. And Chris Harrison comes out to Colton, and Colton's
therapy
like,
Chris.
He comes
I'm done.
Out to Colton.
I can't.
This was a twist of a podcast. No.
He joins Colton on the beach, which is not a metaphor. And and Colton says, you know, I can't do this. I'm done. I'm over it. And so it's time for the rose ceremony. And you know what? It does seem like all the other women should feel pretty good about going with the rose ceremony like this, because two girls are going home, mm-hmm. and he is currently really annoyed with two of them. So even if you didn't get time with him, unless you're Nicole and Onyeka, you're in a pretty good position.
Yeah, Nicole and Onyeka really made this far too easy for him.
Yeah. And this is sort of the last chance of a two-on-one, but Colton...
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. It's kind of like replaced a two-on-one sort of.
Yeah, they were like, look, there was enough yelling at the cocktail party.
It's basically a
2-on-1.
They made the whole episode their own 2-on-1. So
So the roses go to Kaylin, Tayshia, Kirpa, Demi, Hannah G, Katie, and Sydney. And Nicole and Onyeka are going home. They both cry as they leave. But they're both really glad that the other person also got
It's really magnanimous of both of them.
And they really did focus in on Nicole crying for, like, the whole rose ceremony.
I know.
They really wanted us to be reminded.
The thing is, I really relate to the constant crying.
Frankly, like, I know a few people who are just that way. So I don't understand why it was such a weird thing to some people. I don't know.
Yeah, there's anti-crying rhetoric, and I don't appreciate it.
I mean, it seems like Onyeka is just an upbeat, cheery person, and she doesn't understand.
That's true.
People who are, I mean, I get it. It's a downer to have people crying around you when you're not really in that headspace.
That is true.
Neither of them handled it very well.
No, but I do look forward to seeing both of them on Paradise because I feel like they will thrive there.
Their resumes are complete. Like, the needed cry exit.
Primed. They just need to find a guy who's like, I thought that Onyeka was really fun, but also Nicole.
Right.
And then, like, they have that whole dramatic arc set up for them right now. What a gift. Yeah.
Note to any guys trying out for The Bachelorette, when you leave, that's going to be your little pitch.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be in the center of a really stormy love triangle,
might be safe. It's a guaranteed entrance to Paradise, at least.
Right.
I thought that it was going to be the pageant girls all along that, like, kind of did this. But they gave us, like, an early... you know, peak, and they really have chilled out. I don't know.
Yeah, they really have. I wonder if they're just more accustomed to being watched in competitive scenarios and
self-aware of,
know how to, like, get it back under control. But then why did they start freaking out so early in the process? It's kind of like none of it really makes sense.
Yeah.
So they're headed to Vietnam.
Again, just the locations are insane this season.
Yeah.
These women are lucky. Like, the whole crowd gets eliminated in the middle has gotten to go to all of these cool places.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot more women than usual got to go to the really good spots.
And usually it's actually the Bachelorette that goes to a lot of the great places. Because, like, think about a lot of the Bachelors. Like, you know, Chris went to Iowa. Hey, nothing against Iowa, but...
Becca was in the U.S. until,
she,
like,
was, yes.
Until 7.
I agree.
Hometowns.
It was...
Until right before hometowns,
right before.
And they went to the Bahamas.
Which, like, does that really count?
Kaylin was in Ireland, like, for months.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time. I feel like I often get the sense that the Bachelorettes get worse locations.
Really?
Because I think that the Bachelor has a bigger audience.
Yeah. Right.
So, like... when they're doing this all in trade, I think probably tourism boards and hotels are more willing to play ball with The Bachelor.
Yeah. I mean, they usually all start going to pretty good locations by, like, episode 6.
Yeah.
But they started Colton really early.
I mean, Colton's excited by just about anything. I'm sure these tourism boards are like, oh, we got rocks. Yeah. We got some water. Like, we have stuff for Colton to talk about. Totally. Come on down. This is low hanging fruit for us.
This is Colton's grand tour. He's like, I've never been anywhere. I love this.
You know, we get another, you know, vlog.
Oh my God, these are killing me.
Post run.
So bad.
It's like, hey guys, just finishing up my run on the beach here in Vietnam. He's squinting into the sun. He doesn't know where to look.
Yeah, I was like, Colton, turn around, buddy. I mean, I guess you don't want to backlight yourself, but, like, maybe move into the shade. There seem to be trees.
I do have to say I like this twist and change from an editing perspective much more than, like, what they tried with the first episode. I'm sure that's been, like, that's beat to death. But the whole, like, hour of bouncing around and announcing stuff.
That was awful.
This is kind of like it's funny to laugh at as long as you're, like, you know. I'm glad to see that he, like, online, he's been laughing along with it with himself.
Yeah. He seems to have been actually quite prepared to deal with the online situation, more so than some others in the past. I wish that we were getting to know him in ways other than these selfie videos, because on the dates,
all we see is him hooking up with people.
Right. It's so much making out. And even when he's not making out, he's just like giving vague commentary on the surroundings. It feels very Lauren and Ari.
It does.
Which,
and yet we've seen him be able to have substantive conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, are these just not happening, or do they just feel the need to like drive home that despite the fact that he's a virgin, he is capable of sexuality?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I guarantee, because these dates are like 6 hours long in some cases. There's no way they're not having substance in 6 hours of space.
You can make out with someone for 6 hours.
This is true.
If you've never had sex, also, that might seem like a really good idea. just throwing that out there. So the women all sort of arrive and ooh and ah over the resort.
Of course.
Sort of like jogging in a pack around the resort,
yeah.
Like sheepdogs or something. It was sort of interesting production. And they're waiting for that first date card. I think five of them still haven't had one-on-ones.
Yeah, this is the point where the women who haven't had one-on-ones start getting really nervous.
Yeah. Demi, Katie, Kirpa, Sydney, and Hannah G still haven't had one-on-ones. I mean, it's like mathematically, that's just going to happen.
Yes.
And yet I think that we see this episode, what does start to happen is that the women have seen the show before and they're like, I know that like he can't give everyone a one-on-one, but I also know that if he doesn't give me one, it means I'm not going to win.
Right.
So why am I still here?
Right.
Like twiddling my thumbs and waiting for him to, like, this is around the point when he starts being like, I don't know if we can get there to the girls that he hasn't given enough time to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to say it back to him.
Yeah. I think Elise probably kind of started that too the previous last week. Right. Wasn't it?
And I wasn't that sympathetic because she had a one-on-one.
Either. Yeah.
It's like she had one.
Yeah.
So, like, she was sitting pretty as far as, like, the competition goes.
For sure.
But it's definitely gotten the other girls thinking.
I feel like she, like, got the argument or the thought in all their heads.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can just leave.
Yeah.
Like, what? So the date card goes to Hannah G. We really need this date.
With a K. I wanted it to be about bread.
But it wasn't.
Who doesn't need carbs? I wanted them to, like, make them eat carbs.
But, like, I wish that they would try a little harder with these date cards. Like, so many of them recently have been like, we really need this date. I've been waiting for this date for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just not, I need a hint. But it's a pretty uneventful date. They meet at a spa.
Sweet date for her.
We get a lot of Colton's monologue about how he's had his eye on her since the first night. She's stunning. She has the bluest eyes.
No one has bluer eyes than Hannah G.
Little Toni Morrison call out there. Maybe spend a couple hours reading that instead of watching this show. It might be healthier.
She also has the best smiles. The best.
She's sexy. She's drop-dead gorgeous. So he thinks that she looks good.
Apparently. I think it's just because, like, they wrap them up like tamales and he just, you know, he wanted to take a bite.
Okay. So,
we'll get to that.
Let's talk about it. They change into their robes. They start getting their treatments. They keep, like, kissing while the staff are trying to, like,
put charcoal or, like mud masks
on
them.
Like, keeping, like, oh, let's kiss. And I was like, people are trying to, like, cater to you right now.
Also, when you have a mud mask on, like, your skin all starts to tighten.
It still looks pretty moist. I think it hadn't dried yet. And then they are wrapped in banana leaves, I think, and compare themselves to sushi. And this is when we hear Colton in voiceover say, I would definitely eat that sushi roll. Question, does he know
what he is implying?
Maybe not.
Okay. I saw him have an exchange with Colton Haynes, is it? Like later last night on Twitter, where he was kind of like egging on this whole, like, I don't know if because of when Billy Eichner, like, was on and like, got a lot of attention from that. I don't know if he's just, like, prodding people to talk about it more. But, yeah, I don't think he knows.
I mean, because there, I would eat that sushi roll works on several levels.
Yes.
As a sexual
innuendo.
Innuendo. And I think it's possible that he thinks it works on the level of, like, she looks tasty and, mm-hmm. like, what a snack. But I don't think he knows
the other more explicit meaning.
I almost wonder if they were just like, would you like to take a bite of that sushi roll? And he's like, yeah, I would like to take a bite.
They're just feeding him as many of them to see which ones he'll just accept.
I mean, you know, it landed.
Yeah.
It did land.
She, at one point, is giving him a massage and they're both in bathing suits and then they start making out on the massage table.
And then they make out in a mud bath.
And then they make out in a shower.
And then they make out in a shower. There's,
I have to say,
so many places.
Doing all of this in front of what you know is like 15 people is not like hot at all. That's just that's very awkward.
I mean,
to
for
this
them,
extent,
they love being intimate. They get lost in the moment.
It's very
they can't
intimate
control themselves.
When you are filmed, you have a film crew with you.
I mean, even if I didn't have a film crew and I were just at a spa, like, right. with a bunch of people around,
with like two people around, maybe
right.
15, 20 feet away.
I don't know if I could really get lost in the moment there.
I was just waiting for somebody to slip in the shower, too. Like, that's not safe.
Well, Colton.
Don't do it.
Colton's
used to being in showers.
Steady.
He knows how to be in a shower. It's his natural habitat. He's like those goats on the mountainside where, you know, they're like evolved to cling to the mountainside. Yeah. He's like that with showers.
Right, that's why they had to move to the shower. He was like, this is where I'm most myself. Yeah.
And like, it's crazy because it's also where Hannah G is most herself.
As we see, I guess.
One of many things they have in common. Meanwhile, Cassie and Kaylin, also two front runners, are talking back at the house about how much Colton likes Hannah G. But Kaylin thinks that maybe there isn't enough depth to Hannah G. She thinks Hannah has already always relied on her beauty, and she's not sure what other layers she has to offer.
Yikes. Mm. Harsh commentary.
I mean, it's just always weird to see, like, other 23-year-olds who are professionally beautiful say, like, she's always relied on her beauty. You know how that is. And it's like, how would you describe your beauty queen?
Which is, it's fine. That's great. And these women are all quite, you know, aesthetically pleasing humans.
Yeah. I suspect that Hannah is just really boring in the house.
She's definitely boring. She's boring on television.
That's why
they're like just trying to rationalize.
That's why they just show them making out the whole time.
Yeah.
But he loves it. He loves Cassie and he loves Hannah.
And that's what they did both times.
Yeah.
You're right.
And it makes a really stark contrast with some other people later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for the night portion of the date. Again, no conversation during the day portion of the date, just making out. It felt a little like gross to me. Like I was like, this is too much. This feels like graphic.
Yes.
Like it feels exploitative or like
they knew what they were doing.
No,
that's why I feel like the show just wants us to know that Colton is a sexual being really badly. And so we're seeing like far too much footage. Like we get it.
Yeah.
He can get in there and make out.
There's like a good medium too.
He can't
all
get
the
in
way
there.
In. Not all the way
all
in.
All the way. There's like a good medium between like, so where did you grow up? Like how many brothers and sisters do you have? And that there's plenty of like options within there for their conversation to have like at least given us something interesting.
Right. Yeah. Like you want the chemistry, but you also want to know like if we're married, what will we do when we're not literally making out all the time?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Come home, just clear the table.
Just be like, ugh, do you want to shower again? We did that last night. So a very clean relationship. They both have hygiene.
Yeah.
So at the night date, they sit down and he's like, what was your favorite part? And she's like, the shower. And he's like, the shower. Definitely. I was going to say the shower. And they're like,
we're the same person.
They had a great day. They loved showering. And now it's time to like learn about why Hannah is the way she is.
I love that he keeps saying that.
I know.
I just want to know what makes her her.
Yeah.
It felt really sweet the first time, but now I'm like, oh, that's just his line that he uses every time. Mm-hmm. It feels a little less genuine when it's repeated.
And then it creates this impression that's like, now is like the show and tell portion of the date. Like, yeah. You're going to explain your psyche to me and then we can go back to making out.
Divorce. That's, yeah, that's the explanation.
And it was a very weird transition too. Like, yeah. I don't like want to discount anyone's story and like say that it's, but to go from all of this, I'm talking about from the production aspect, like to go from all of this making out to now we're going to talk about Hannah's like family's divorce story. Again, it just felt, it feels.
It's a jarring transition.
Yeah.
It was a land of extremes on this
There were
date.
Also just a lot of moments during this episode as a whole that felt extremely produced. Like all of the girl chats, this part of the date, like, and of course it's all produced, but I don't like to notice so much.
Right.
Right.
This didn't feel super artful.
No. I mean, she clearly is trying to like roll into her story from the question, like, why are you the way that you are? So she's like, well, during this experience, I've had all this time to think about myself and think about like
she's
how
never,
I want to be.
She's never had a time to think about herself before.
She's very busy being an Instagram model.
Being beautiful.
Listen, it's stressful.
According to Kaylin.
I know. Kaylin and Hannah have very different ideas about what Hannah's like.
Right.
She's like, in a relationship, I can't just do my usual thing of being just happy and fun all the time. I want to put on a brave face, but like, and like opening up is not my jam.
But
I don't relate
Bachelor,
to that. I love opening up.
Mm-hmm.
So she's
same. I'm like, can I cross boundaries and just tell a total stranger all of my deepest traumas?
I do sort of wish that I were dating still only in the sense that I could tell people more stuff about myself more of the time.
Dating for therapy.
Exactly.
You don't even have to respond. Just sit there. I will talk at you.
Even my therapist eventually is like, I've heard this story before. And I'm like, listen, I just want to tell someone and have them act surprised. Okay,
that's why I'm paying you.
So he says, well, why do you want to put on a brave face? And she says, well, I've wanted to be strong for other people. Like during my parents' divorce, I don't even remember them telling me about it. I like blocked it out because I wanted to be like strong. But she has this weird memory of seeing her mom drive over the yard to go pack up her stuff, and her dad
loves
the yard. He tended to that yard like it was his child or a vintage car or something.
Or every dad's yard.
Or every dad's yard. I mean, mowing it three times a week is a lot.
That's a lot.
I was thinking of Jack Donaghy getting a haircut every 2 days on 30 Rock. Uh-huh. It's like, really? Like how much can it possibly have grown? But and it is sad. It's like that moment when you realize your parents aren't a team. They're adversaries. Like the things that your dad cares about or your mom has decided she doesn't have to care about anymore. And I can definitely see why that's stuck in her mind. And Colton sympathizes and says that as the child of divorced parents, he also has never wanted to think about it or hear why they broke up. Now they've bonded, he says, not only over divorce, but also opening up in general. And I would like to point out again, showering. So they make out some more. That is the end of conversation on this date. He gives her the rose. And then there is like a small private concert, like a musical quartet is playing in a courtyard. And they are falling in love with each other.
Much better musical date portion than the whole big concert with 200 people,
and
by the way.
It felt very intimate.
Yeah.
And, like the music was very soothing.
Exactly.
It wasn't like...
And like some really like country
band
that
nobody
knows. Yeah,
I was going to say, there's no Z-list country star, which just is a real gift to us.
They both say, and they're in the moments, that they're falling in love with the other person. I think this is the first time we've heard Colton say that.
Yeah.
Back at the house, the date card arrives for the group date. Everyone wants a one-on-one.
Cassie, Heather, Tayshia, Kaylin, Katie, Hannah B., Sydney, and Demi. Are you ready to fight for love? And Sydney and Demi are not pleased.
They're both...
Kirpa's getting
the
one-on-one.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Kirpa gets the one-on-one.
Which I was so glad about.
I was really surprised. I actually didn't think she was going to make it through the last rose ceremony.
I really thought it would be
Katie. Yeah,
me too.
Because he vibes with her so much.
Yeah, that one really surprised me.
Yeah.
There's just clearly so much that we're missing in this.
Right.
Like, and we'll get into it with
the unsettling thing
but...
with these surprises is that it just is a signal of how much of the relationships were
not
seen at all, not even a little bit.
Well, and like even beyond, great, show them making out like a couple times, but can we please add in some of the stuff like last week with Kirpa's Band-Aid? They had the like extra deleted scene.
I know.
How is that not in the episode?
It should be in the episode.
It was great. Like it was really funny and it showed like her as a person before this point in time because we've never seen her.
I know.
And now
I mean,
we have all these like the small remaining group and most of them I feel like I know nothing about.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
I know so little. All I know is that Colton really loves showering.
He loves
I've learned that. That has stuck with me.
He just wants a girl who can shower with him and bring him a cheeseburger.
But outside of Kaylin, I feel like we really don't have a sense of these women.
Yeah. The Sydney and Demi are particularly disappointed. Demi sort of cries in front of the rest of the group. She doesn't understand why she didn't get it. She says Demi's not in a good mood today. A lot of people referring to themselves in the third person this episode. I mean, I get it. The thing about Demi that kind of drives me crazy is that she's – when other women are struggling, she is completely impatient with it. She's like, I don't care. I'm strong. I'm here for myself. But then as soon as she is upset, she happily takes the comfort from the other women and feels, like, entitled to it. I was like, if your thing is going to be like, I'm tough as nails, then, like – you have to, like, do that.
I think she knows what she's doing.
Ugh, it's so annoying. But, like, does she? Because this episode was not her best.
Sure.
So they all roll up in their athleisure, as they do. Colton is waiting for them in a man tank. And he immediately starts doing some sort of stage fighting martial arts with two uniformed assailants. And he announces that they're going to be learning the ancient art of Vovinam. Which is a Vietnamese martial art. And
cue lots of questionably like racist music that just starts playing.
This episode was really big on the also like the scene setting when they first get to Vietnam is a lot of like, look at these like traditional hats and like temples.
Oh gosh. And at one point I think Demi even says, like, it's so exotic here. I was like, oh god.
Again, it's not hard to please the bachelor girls.
The music was not subtle.
Right.
It was definitely meant to invoke like a kung fu movie sort of deal. And
so Hannah looks like ready to do this. Hannah B.
Hannah loves fighting.
And I mean, it like. She loves two things, eating weird stuff and apparently fighting. Like, she's ready to roll.
Yeah.
Hannah Beast is
here. She woke up as Hannah Beast.
Yeah. This has become a whole thing.
Oh, it's such a thing. It's like every time she gets into an ITM, she's like, I gotta roar again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She knows that that's what Colton is looking for.
I have to say, it reminds me of this girl that I dated many years ago, but who would like... Like, it doesn't feel 100% genuine when she does that. Do you know what I mean? There's, like, something about it that feels like she's playing a role that, like, weirds me out to where, like, if I get it, you're cute, but, like, not, like, please, like, let's not do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Yeah. I think that Hannah B. has a sort of very childlike affect in this way where it's like it often feels like she is playing at what she's doing or she's like kind of trying it on.
Right.
And she's like, now's the time when I'm going to be like the badass chick and like I'm going to like go hard. And you're like, I mean, it's great that she's getting into it, but it definitely always feels like she is like at play.
Like,
and
maybe
she's not
10% less than that would be perfect.
Listen, you don't have to marry Hannah B.
True.
But I am starting to feel like Colton is going to have to because she is getting scared.
Also, guess what? She's like 23. She has some time to sort of play with who she is and figure it out. So
I support that. So they do some practice, some moves. Demi is really struggling to even do the practice because she's so emotional after not getting the one-on-one. And then it's time to compete. And Chris Harrison is there for color commentary with the host of Bachelor Vietnam.
I wish we heard more from the host of Bachelor Vietnam.
He got
honestly.
Some good quips in.
He did. He did.
I love how he's like speaking Vietnamese, though. And Chris is just like, he doesn't know Vietnamese unless, you know, he picked up an app on the way there. Like,
but it's safe, right? Because they're not going to show Chris like true. Nodding sagely at the, you know, host saying something like incredibly offensive.
Exactly.
Like,
you're right.
He's guarded by being the face of The Bachelor. they all put on like padded helmets and gloves to fight. They all immediately forget all of the moves they learned, and they just start shrieking.
There's so much giggling, so much shrieking. It was pretty, you know, it was pretty funny.
The host of Bachelor Vietnam, whose name I couldn't find anywhere online, they said it, but I didn't.
They said it once, and then there wasn't. Was it even in the Chiron?
I feel like there should be more information about Bachelor Vietnam available to me. He says, this doesn't look anything like Vo Vietnam. Usually there isn't so much laughing. Also, I did look up some competition Vo Vietnam.
And it did not look like that. Okay, yeah. Glad you fact-checked that one.
In my experience. Demi fights Katie. And she's like, I'm going to take out all my frustrations on this. I'm going to go hard. I'm going to really.
They were both really.
Demi, like,
going after
crumbled.
It.
Like, as soon as Katie hit her in the face, she was like, you hit me in the face and started, like, crying.
Well, I kind of, you know, like in the Office beach games when they're wearing the big fat suits and Stanley all of a sudden is like, aah! And runs at somebody. That's like what I pictured in my mind. And then Jim is like, was exactly the
but Demi
where my
was
brain
like
went.
Punching back for most of it. And then all of a sudden she was like, I'm done.
Yeah, she wasn't like she tried.
She did try.
Then as soon as they call, you know, break, she like crumpled to the ground and was like, I'm in the face.
But clearly she and Katie are friends. They were like, oh, sorry.
That's not the point. Yeah. The point is Demi keeps, like, insisting she's some, like, hard, tough lady who doesn't need special treatment and, like, all the other women are weak. And she is full of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
and then Colton's
so annoying.
Like, wow,
and then she gets to cry.
I must protect Demi. So we're calling off this competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, okay, sir, she's fine. They're wearing protective gear.
Yeah, and, like, Katie apologizes and they hug, yeah. But I was like, she's not hurt. Like, that was the activity. And I would have more sympathy if she were more upfront about the fact that she is not that tough and that she is vulnerable. Like, and but part of that is just being, I think, young and wanting to try
put on
out,
a face.
Put on a face.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But everyone loves Demi so much that I feel like it's totally valid for me to not.
I actually have been really surprised by how much I enjoy her.
I don't get it. I don't.
I don't get it either. Because I in like the very first episode, I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to like this girl. And then I don't know why. I don't know what it is.
I have mixed feelings. I always like bristle a little bit at the like outsized way that Bachelor Nation seems to like rally around these like white blonde women who mm-hmm. behave somewhat badly.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't find her enjoyable to watch because often I do. And I think, you know, she's much less extreme and mean girlish than, you know, like a Corinne was.
Exactly.
But there are shades of that still bother me. And I just feel like there's a lot more latitude given to characters like her. You know, and yeah. then
so
would be
people
if,
are like,
yeah.
oh, she's doing all the villain moves, and yet everyone loves her. What's mm-hmm. going on? And I'm like,
she's white and blonde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's not that confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know. She just rubs me the wrong way.
We're gonna take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from week 6 of The Bachelor. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit. And I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
It's time for the night date, and she hopes no one will punch her in the face that night. Probably a good bet.
Doesn't seem like the venue for it.
No. And Colton sits down with Tayshia first. This is the group date of all of the women coming to Colton and being like, it is time for me to entrust you with my emotional baggage.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing about this show is that even if you've hit your limit, that doesn't mean that he is ready to hear
any of it or feel anything about what you say.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, I've hit my limit. I can't keep this in anymore. And this is part of me. He has to get to know me. And then it's like, well, the other seven women also feel that way. Mm-hmm. So he's just going to be getting a tidal wave of insecurities. And that's what this date is. She says, you know, this week was hard. I put myself on the line before and I was burned before, I assume referring to her marriage. And she's like, I want you to have that curiosity with me to like actually get to know me. And he's like, yeah, I do want to get to know you. And they make out.
He says something very, you know, emotionally important.
And then she's like, wow, that solved everything.
How many conversations can we see where the woman is just like, I want you to know about me. And he's like, I want to know about
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to learn
He boomerangs
anything?
Just about everything yeah. that anyone says. It's like, that is really what he does. Like, you know, which I guess is why they don't show more of that, because for the most part, it's not really like driving something forward.
That's true. Like, she's like, that was your cue to ask me a question.
Right. And,
but also, I mean, I don't think that it's a very productive way to start a conversation by being like, I'd like you to ask me a question. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's kind of on all of them. Like, the women are coming to him and just being like, I'd like you to want to get to know me. And mm-hmm. he's like, I do.
Yeah, do you think this is like, because of this and some of the other things that kind of happened throughout last in this episode, do either of you think that Colton is like a bad question asker? You know what I mean? You know, there's those people who mm-hmm. will answer questions but like never respond to it.
It's interesting because I think he's a good question asker in certain contexts.
Yeah.
Like, he's an empathetic listener. Mm-hmm. So if someone starts telling him something,
he'll ask good follow-up questions,
but he doesn't know how to get conversations. Like, he's not a great conversationalist. Mm-hmm. And I think those are related but different skills.
Well, you're right about that.
I also just think all of Ari's conversations were so painful to me, then I'm like, wow, what an improvement this guy. Just, I could listen to him all day.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I've hit my
limit. I mean, yeah, I couldn't actually. 2 hours is quite enough. Yeah,
but I've been surprised how much I actually like Colton as well.
I really like
him.
Expect, he's very nice.
Yeah, I didn't expect like things to be as comfortable as they are because it was very uncomfortable with Ari.
Yeah, well, Ari was not prepared to be in that spotlight, although he might have thought that he was ready. Katie, also freaking out, sits down with Colton and says it's hard for her to show emotions, even happiness, because she doesn't want it to get taken away. And her biggest fear is that he will misunderstand her and not be able to read what she's feeling. And she doesn't want to go home with him thinking that she didn't try. And she's like struggling to hold back tears, and he grins and is like,
right,
that's what I like to see. He's like, no, I like to see you happy too, but also it's really good to like learn more about you and like see what you're really feeling.
I should have sent her home here if he was going to send her home at the rose ceremony.
Agreed.
I mean, it was just like this conversation she really set up in order to give him almost a way to send her home, because she's basically saying like, here's the thing I want you to know before you send me home. Mm-hmm. And I want you to acknowledge that you understand that.
She was kind of seeking the validation that she's going to get a rose, I think.
Right.
At the end of the week.
She wanted more validation, but it ended up playing as like, here's the thing that you need to know on my way out. And like, I want to, when I leave, I want it to be in this specific way. That I don't think that was her intention.
I don't think so either.
But that's how it,
yeah.
I think that's how Colton was able to metabolize it, is that it was presented in a way that also worked as a send home speech.
Agreed.
Also, he was like, I'm sure he was like, I don't want to have to read where you're at. I know very little about men, but one thing I do know is that they're always like, why do they expect me to just know what they're thinking? They should tell me how they feel. And she's literally being like, please read my mind.
I think especially at this point, which I was actually really surprised by how this group date ends, but this is a point where, like, you guys already kind of said this, they're all starting to feel the pressure of like, am I going to get a one-on-one? What does this mean? How long am I going to be here for? And being this like separate, sort of like fun and happy person that is a like breath of fresh air from all these intense conversations can usually be like really helpful and nice. So it is, but it is hard to like, you know, having been in that position to like internalize that and move forward with that. But like,
is this about the time that you went home?
I won this group date rose.
Oh, he's preening right now. He's trying to hold back the pride, but it's not working.
Because that's what I did, though. It was like, there's all these guys, and I was like, you know what, let them do their thing, and then you know, just like keep forging forward and shut it down.
And like then you went home like a week
and
later.
And then I went home a week later with tears in my eyes.
But I feel like that this is actually one of the most important dates. Like, it's almost better to have, like, complained a little earlier than the other girls and then be prepared to be the fun one when everyone else is breaking down.
Agreed.
Like, Hannah B. Has already had some, like, pretty, like, rough conversations with Colton, but this time she got to be the fun one who played a game with him on the beach while all of the otherwise more stable girls are freaking out. And it is starting to be, like, the older, like, more experienced daters who are starting to get uncomfortable, and I'm wondering if that's just because they've noticed that his front runners are identical 23-year-old ones. And they're like, it's not me.
What?
So I haven't gotten a one-on-one yet. I am not a 23-year-old blonde.
So I think my time is up.
Yeah.
Yeah, do I hang around to get sent home? So Hannah and Colton, yeah, have a nice time. Tayshia and Sydney are kind of talking about how they're going to game this date and their frustrations that Hannah B. got the rose at the group date the week before. And Sydney at this point is like, he's not looking at me, even though I'm the person who is like ready for what he says he's ready for. And he's getting distracted by these like shiny objects. And so she sits down with Colton and says, you know, that it's been hard. And
he's like, oh, I get another one.
She's like, I don't want to have this conversation, but this is the time I have. I'd rather it be on a one-on-one. And he's like, I'd rather every date be a one-on-one. And she says, well, why am I not getting a one-on-one? And he's like, well, I'm still just trying to figure you all out. And she says, well, I just need to know if you can get there with me. And he says, I can try. Mm-hmm. I'm trying.
Not a very encouraging answer.
Right.
No. I think she made the right decision just leaving on her own terms.
Agreed.
But she doesn't leave yet. She's
no,
like, okay.
Not yet.
But there's a wall up. But, like, we had a good conversation. Demi then sits down with Colton and says she wants to be soft and sensitive with him and supportive. And part of that is that she wants to share her relationship with her mom more with him. And so they call her mom. She
hasn't
talked to her mom on the phone without, like, going through the prison phone system in years.
Mm-hmm. I was just sad that this was on camera.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I hope that's not true. I hope they let her call
her
mom.
Yeah, I agree.
This.
My friend who I was watching with last night said the same thing. She's like, I really hope that
honestly,
they had an off-camera conversation.
I bet they didn't. Because, they wouldn't – it was my little sister's birthday in the middle of this. And, like, they wouldn't let me call at all even. You know, there was, like, no way. So I guess they have shown, like, before, like – single dads
like
and
single
moms like calling their
or it's possible that she was like, my mom just got out of prison, can I please call her? And they were like, yes, but
right,
it
exactly.
will have
right.
to be on camera.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I doubt that they would let that happen. I was uncomfortable with how she said mommy.
It's never
how and the fact. I don't know why. That just I feel like that needs to end when you're like 9.
Some people keep doing it until they're My husband and his brother still
do they really
sometimes. I'm sorry, guys.
Putting Greg on blast.
Not all the time, but yeah. Like I
don't
like
know.
It's
I
not
get
something
it.
In my.
I don't,
my, I don't
weird.
Remember ever calling my parents mommy and daddy. I don't even remember making a transition. I just don't remember doing it at all.
I definitely did. I don't know, but like only in certain situations, not like commonly.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that like grates on me, but it's also just like. Different families are different, so I try not to, like...
It's, like, not a deal breaker, but it's, like, a red flag.
Wow.
Like
that kind of wow. Oh, she's having her first conversation with her mom outside of prison in years.
I know, but still.
Come on. That's her mommy.
So I don't even really want to talk about their conversation because I feel like it should have been private. And then she's like, I look forward to introducing Colton to you in person. And then she comes back to the group and tells the group that they shared this bonding moment. And Sydney is upset. And she thinks that Demi and Hannah B. and some of these women aren't as ready for marriage as she is. And so she wants to talk to Colton again and be more clear about that. And Tayshia agreed, like also is feeling like these girls, these young women aren't taking things seriously because they're like having fun.
Isn't Tayshia the oldest person there?
I think so.
Yeah, 28. You know, she's just really.
Yeah, then she's
about to wilt.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like they're right. But they're also wrong.
Right.
Like, the fact that these girls are, like, having fun on the date is not bad.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think that most of them are actually really interested in getting married right now.
No, I don't think most people who go on this show expect that marriage will come out of it. So they don't actually have to be ready for marriage.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I can see how that would be frustrating when you're in it and you feel like, I'm taking this seriously. But also, you're on a freaking reality
right.
TV show. Like,
and also, like, Colton,
have fun.
Colton, you know, maybe should pick someone who is ready for marriage over someone who's not. But, like, does that mean that you just pick the person who is most interested in marriage?
No.
Even
like,
if you're
you
not
should
into
pick
them.
The one you're the most interested in, right?
Exactly.
Because really, you're just agreeing to date that person.
Right. Really, like, there's no pressure to get married. It's not like they're pulling an Ari and Lauren and, like, having a kid and getting married within the year.
As far
most
as we
people
know.
Date for...
I hope not.
No. I just mean, like, most people date for, like, couple of years or whatever before they even get to that point.
And so most of them never get married if we're talking about Bachelor winners.
True.
So,
which I wonder if that actually plays into how the girls going into this feel. Like, there's basically zero expectation.
Yeah. You're like, who's getting married? Yeah. I'm getting an engagement ring that I'll probably have to give back.
Yeah, but like a 0.2% chance that you will end up getting married out of this.
Yeah.
So Sydney talks to him again and she says, you know, I just want to really make sure that, you know, you understand what you're doing. I'm afraid that you're taking easier choices with the people you're pursuing. And if that's what you're looking for, then great. But like, I want something real and magical and everything that you're looking for. But if it were right, it would be a lot easier than it has been, which I think is true. But she gets there through this winding path of like, I guess you're not looking for love because like I want love and you don't love me.
Right. That part I was like, eh. But then the conclusion is correct.
Frankly, I felt like she started off going one direction and ends with like, oh, no. Self-realization, like, this is not going the way I wanted this to. I break up with you first.
Yeah. Also, I don't think she's very into him.
No.
Exactly.
I mean, it's sort of the same thing as Elise, except that I think that Elise had a stronger expectation of staying than Sydney did. I think they both went in being like, this is my time to really get validation. And then halfway through, we're like, nope, not happening. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm going home. And he looks really hard. It's hard for me to describe. He looks like personally wounded or like disappointed in himself, or like he's just found out that like he's never gonna play football again, you know, like he just has this like down. It's not even like he's not even really looking at her or like seeming that upset that she's going, but clearly the fact that now this is the second week in a row that a girl has sent herself home.
I was gonna say, I don't think it's about Sydney. I think he's probably running through like, oh, I'm filming a show and this is gonna be a pattern of women just not wanting to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he is...
Because this doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
I mean, Jacqueline...
I mean, it does.
It happens often, but not, like, this early in the season, and it's already two women.
Yeah. I mean, I looked it up. It's pretty, like, two women leaving voluntarily is, like, the most common number other than zero, I think.
Is it really?
A lot of seasons had two girls quitting.
Oh, because I guess you had, like, LB on... Ben's season. Like, some happen early. Lacey. Yeah.
Two girls left, one Pablo. Yeah. Because I think Claire
Charlene and Andy.
Yeah.
On Pablo's.
Yeah, that one's...
Those were fantastic.
Yeah. So there have been a few, like, quite a few two people leaving. But this is very early and in quick succession. It's got to feel like things are snowballing, which is scary. And he walks her out. He tells her he knows that she gave up a lot to be there. And he says, I'm sorry. And she says, and here is where the omens start, or the predictions. She says, there are wonderful people in that group. Find them. Don't be distracted by shiny things. Really figure
He's
out
like,
what
which
you
ones are
find.
Shiny?
He needs to ask more follow-up questions.
Yeah,
He's
I
just
know.
Like, what? Who? I mean, I guess I'll think about that while she leaves.
As we've established, Colton is a terrible investigator.
He's being like, how could I have found out who they were talking about? She leaves, and he joins the other women and says, you know, Sydney wanted to leave because I wasn't opening up enough to her, and it made me think about how much more I can give to all of you, which was very sweet. And then he gives the rose to Tayshia. And the next morning, it is time for Kirpa's one-on-one date.
This was just a damn delight.
Mm. Kirpa's so normal.
I know.
Yes.
I like it.
It was like kind of... It kind of confused me at points. I was like, did someone just wander off, like, off stage onto the show? Like, she doesn't have any of the usual, like, contestant affectations. She doesn't seem, like, to really be super aware of the cameras or to act in those ways that people act on camera.
There wasn't really a clear narrative arc as much. Even though there was the, like, big life story in there, it didn't land in the same way. It didn't seem as stilted. She didn't seem particularly anxious, which
she
is probably
seemed very comfortable,
which is probably why she's lasted so long. Because, like, as we've discussed before, people who have anxiety disorders, like, this show just tears
it's
them
apart. It's not so good. Yeah. I mean, frankly, she did kind of come off camera because we haven't seen anything about her. So it was, like, really nice to actually get to know her for once.
And her chin was back.
Yes.
The bandage was off.
It looked great.
Looked great. And they are spending the day, I guess, snorkeling and spearing sea urchins. Again, this is the sort of date that I feel like in past seasons you would have heard more explanation of, maybe from the contestants, maybe from, like, whoever is hosting them on the fishing boat. And instead, you just sort of see them spearing sea urchins.
Yeah.
Then you see them looking like what appears to be maybe some seafood off of like lemons.
I think they're eating sea urchin.
Right. Like yeah. I figured.
Yeah. But usually they would like make jokes about it and explain
or
it.
Or at least yeah. talk about it.
It was right. very weird. Like I think I like went to grab a seltzer from my fridge and I was like, wait, what are they doing? I completely felt like I missed.
I mean,
the first
you didn't.
It's just like quick flashes.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. Like, it's yeah. just like suddenly they were spearing sea urchins. And I was like, okay, sure.
Well, and the side-by-side, like, sitting felt very friend-zoney. And the sea yes. urchin thing, like, it is, by comparison to, like, the one-on-one at the beginning, they're very, like, it looks like a friend zone versus, like, something passionate. I don't know, though, because then, yeah. like, they keep talking about how their relationship is building over and over and over, and I was just like, when?
I bet this is one of the relationships that's like, he really enjoys being around her.
Yeah.
They feel like really good friends. Like the way that, you know, Rachel and Matt during her season.
Oh, good
and we
comparison.
Were like, who is this guy? But clearly, she'd had a really great time with him.
Yeah.
And I think that often the lead needs those people who feel
Somebody.
Like a friend, like a friendly escape rather than this, like, big, intense emotional trauma every single time, whether or not they're super into those people.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have a ton of physical chemistry. And
but they have, like, chemistry.
Yeah, of course. But, like, I also feel like to say, like, oh, our relationship keeps building. We keep, like, it's a slow burn. That is often the kind of thing that leads say to people they're not going to pick.
The friend, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Right? Like, I mean, you can't just be like, I feel like we're more like buddies.
Yeah.
You need to keep some people around.
You can't explicitly say that.
And they kept like zooming in on his hand on her thigh.
Right.
And stuff to kind of build that feeling that they are, that they're attracted to each other. But like they didn't have to do that with Hannah G because his hands were literally all over her body the entire time. And his tongue was down her throat. So it almost draws more attention to the fact that they are not into each other sexually.
I agree. With the sea urchin, did you guys notice how the face though that Colton made when he
yeah.
ate it? I feel like Colton on these trips is like, can I get some chicken fingers and hot dogs in the room? Like, that's what he eats at night.
No, he's like, he means so well, but
yeah.
he just, like, actually hates it.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I like the part where I'm on the beach. That's cool.
And even with, like, the previous weird eating up, like, times, he's, like, not even eating the stuff. He's making the girls
yeah.
eat
he's
it.
He's watching them being like, oh, I can't believe you ate that.
Yeah.
Oh, Colton.
Anyway.
Yeah, I did notice he, like, really scrunches up his nose. I was like... So during the evening portion of the date, they both seem to feel like things are going really well. She thinks that he brings out the thrill-seeking side of her. Again, I think mostly because he just expects them to all do the activity while he doesn't really do it. And then he asks her about how she was engaged in the past, and she says they were together for 8 years.
Also, clearly they've already talked about this, and
right.
I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. I was like, did I just miss it?
Also, then I tried to reverse engineer, like, if they were together 8 years and they've broken up and they were engaged, like, when did these people start dating? At, like, 14?
Right.
How old is she?
She's, like, 25 or 26.
Okay, so they probably started dating in high school.
In high school.
They could be, like, high school sweethearts, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely what it was.
And, like, if you're together for 8 years, part of that is the engagement. So we're really just talking about
True.
8 years plus the breakup. But, yeah, that's intense. Like, that's a very formative time to be in a long relationship. And he was saving himself for marriage. And so she's like, I'm totally accustomed to men who are virgins. And
Colton was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just to clarify, not saving myself for marriage.
Yeah.
Just saving himself for the right person. I wrote the right version. I don't know what that means. He's saving himself for the right person.
He does want us to know for sure that it's not a religious thing. Like,
yeah.
he really has said that multiple times.
He's sort of like the flip side of Sean, who was
yeah.
like, I
yeah.
have
oh,
had
good
sex,
point.
But I will not have sex with you until I get married. And Colton is like, I haven't had sex, but I definitely do want to do it before we get married.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I think it's important in an engagement, especially.
He's like, look, if we end this thing together, we will be fucking. Let me just make that clear.
And she says, I don't want to get engaged again until it's to the right person. And he's like, well, would you be ready to accept my proposal? And she's like, yes.
No, no, no. She said, Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I think, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah is like what you say when they're like, would you like another round of drinks? And you're like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say no to that.
Yeah, exactly.
That great offer.
Like, am I enthusiastic? Not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, it's always such a strange thing to me when they're like, it's really important to me to only be engaged once or once more. And I don't take it lightly. And then the guy's, you know, the other person's like, well, would you be ready to get engaged at the end of this? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, so why did you even bring up the thing about not wanting to just get engaged? Because it seems like if you were that worried about it, you would definitely not want to get engaged on a TV show.
Who does that?
Personally, I think it's fine to get engaged as many times as you want. So he gives her the rose. She does this thing where she says yay a lot, sort of quietly when she's happy, which is another thing that just seemed very, like, normal, not on camera sort of thing to do.
Like, I like that, too.
This is just something that I feel like someone would.
She feels like she's just, like, living her life.
Right.
Which is great.
It doesn't feel like she's, like, trying to perform at all. Mm-hmm. They make out a little bit in the rain. I still don't really see.
Like, he takes the umbrella down. Nobody likes to be wet like that.
I think they were standing
Colton
under an awning.
He's like a natural shower.
I think they were standing under an awning. This is my, because they didn't look
it
that
might
wet.
Be. I don't know.
I mean, the parts that we could see. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Oh, wow, Claire.
So, meanwhile, so Kirpa arrives back home, and Demi is like, time for me to shine. She is primped. She's in her cutoffs. She wants him to see her passion go balls to the wall.
And you can just tell, like, this is going to go terribly.
Oh,
but
yes.
It's funny because she knocks on his door, and, like, when he sees Elise at the door, he is not happy. Like, he – and I thought he liked Elise, but, like, she knocked on the door, and he was sort of like, oh, hi. And she's like, can I come in? And with Demi, he's like, hey, like, grinning, like, come on in. And at some point, there is this clip of her saying, hopefully by this time tomorrow, Colton won't be a virgin anymore. Emma, you think that sounded
I think it's a Frankenbite. Because they didn't show her actually saying it. It was voiceover, and it, like, sounded a bit choppy to me.
Mm-hmm.
It just was, yeah.
She was defending herself last night on social media about that. She was like, I didn't say that.
Yeah,
that
was, yeah. No, so, it was a Frankenbite. It was for sure a Frankenbite.
That's kind of...
I do think that if she said it, she would stand by it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have a lot of clips of all of these women saying virgin, so it's very easy thing
it's
for
not,
them
not
to do.
Hard for them to edit that together.
Yeah.
So she sits him down and tells him that she... has been missing him. She wanted to check in because he had a tough night the night before. And he's like, yeah, it was hard, but I had a really good night tonight on my date with another woman. And she tells him, I never thought it would be this real for me. I feel really confident with what's between us. And she feels that she's falling in love with him, and she wants time to just enjoy each other and let herself fall. I found it so interesting to watch her during this because she often says things in a way where it seems like she's very self-conscious of what she's saying and the way it will be received and not like she's really inhabiting it. And I got that a lot during this speech. Like, she was like, I've said the thing about how I'm falling. And so she, like, looks satisfied and, like, gives her little, like, shimmy sort of thing. It's not that she doesn't feel it. It's just that she does seem, like, in contrast to Kirpa, so hyper aware of
role she's playing. Often when they sort of gear up to go on one of these little, like, asides, they are so prepared.
Mm-hmm.
They've had probably a lot of conversations with producers.
Exactly.
She's been, like, working herself up. She's like, this is my mission. This is what I have to say.
I just feel like I see the seams more with Demi than I do with other contestants. I feel
like that's fair.
There are elements that she doesn't quite know how to, like, stay in the moment when she is delivering it.
Well, and you know, you don't get to go and knock on the lead's door without, like, a prep talk with the producer, and where they want to make sure they know why, like, what's the point of you wanting to go and do this? What are you going to say? How are you going to say it? over like the course of a couple hours, like guaranteed throughout the day.
Also, what a gift to them, because they probably knew like Demi's probably going home. This is going to be a much more satisfying way to end her arc. Mm-hmm. She'll get her like individual send off because she's going to be a character.
Mm-hmm.
And it does immediately. This is the first time that we really see someone say, I'm falling for you to Colton, and have him recoil instead of really enjoying it.
And I almost wonder if his, like, excitement at her arriving was because he sees her as someone who's, like, fun and goofy and, like, not going to cause him emotional stress.
He's like, I thought this would just be a thing where you would, like, whack me in the butt with a paddle and then we'd, like, make out and then I'd get to, like, go to math. And he's like, I really appreciate you saying that to me. It means a lot.
God.
You make me feel special.
That the minute he said, I really appreciate that. I was
It's not even like I love hearing that. Yeah. Or like, and he says, hearing that brings up emotions because I think about you a lot, but there's a part of me that doesn't know if we can get there. I don't know if I can see myself with you at the end. And so he can't put her through a rose ceremony. Demi seems devastated. It seems like she really didn't think that she was going home anytime soon. She's crying. I was sort of surprised. Like, I didn't ever really see a very genuine connection between them. But it seems like she does feel that.
It was the most emotionally honest moment we've really seen from her in the entire show. Like,
totally.
They managed to catch her so off guard that you could see that, like, the face, like, anyone who's been rejected in a way that feels surprising has made that face, that, like, trying to process while also not, you know, starting to cry but trying not to cry. Like, I felt for her in that moment.
A genuine moment of, like, trying to reach out. I mean, we all go through that.
Yeah.
Or except for Claire, but...
Go through what?
Where you put yourself out there, you go to that I really wanna.
You think I've never been rejected?
No.
It's hilarious.
Not in many years.
I mean, not recently, but trust me, I did a lot of getting rejected before that.
Okay, so go back in the memory bank.
I know. I definitely felt for Demi, even though she's not my favorite. Seeing her feel really genuinely hurt surprised me, but how could you not sympathize? I guess I feel uncomfortable with the idea that I just liked seeing her being genuinely hurt because I liked seeing something genuine from her. And then I'm like, this is what I ask of the show, is that they'll, like, put these women through the ringer until they psychologically break. And then I'm like, yeah, that's the good shit. You know, like, I feel gross about that.
No, it's terrible, but also that is the good shit.
I know, it's so bad.
Give me more.
We're monsters.
We are.
So Colton is like, you're incredible. You're going to make someone so happy. And this is when Demi says something interesting. She says, there are some girls here who seem like a safe choice, but they're not actually safe because you won't end up happy in the long run.
Who?
I mean,
Colton,
I knew.
Colton does not ask.
He doesn't ask. No.
I also, like, I felt like I knew who Sydney was talking about.
Well, so did Colton. He thought she was
talking
about Demi.
Well, he keeps playing this dominoes game. Yeah. Like, he thinks it's the next person.
Right. So he's like, so it wasn't Demi, but it was. Like, Demi is one of the people that Sydney was, but I don't get who Demi doesn't think is a safe choice, because she's besties with all of the 23-year-old, like, women, and I don't really get why she thinks that, like, Tayshia would be a bad choice.
I kind of thought, just because of the way that they teased, did you notice one of the commercial break, like, teasers? They have a voiceover of Colton being like, someone here is not ready. And then they really zoomed in on Cassie.
Interesting.
And so I wondered if that's going to come up next.
I guess
episode.
Demi and Cassie don't seem to be close.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really don't.
No, I think because Hannah G, Hannah B, and Demi are like BFFs. Yeah. And then Kaylin and Cassie are BFFs.
I do feel like this is definitely a bachelor scenario and not a bachelorette scenario. Like, when the guys leave, they're not like, watch out for these other bitches, you know? But it's definitely, I think they know that they're planting a seed in there. Like, not each one of them. Like, they didn't plan it out ahead of time. But I definitely think they know that this. They're kind of like, this is my last little bomb. I'm gonna
I do feel like sometimes the guys do that. Like,
do they?
You know, there are some good dudes here, but like, you know, watch out for Ben. Like, I feel like that's happened.
Yeah, I also feel like, you know, the bachelorettes are more like psychologically strong than the bachelors.
That's
and they're like, I already know.
Point.
I know who I'm into. Like,
don't worry.
It's fine.
I've got him pegged. Yeah. She goes back to the house and tells the Hannahs that she's leaving. She says, this is the story of my life. Nobody has ever loved me back. It's so heartbreaking.
I know.
She cries while they, like, hold her. And that's goodbye to Demi. That's her exit. Cocktail party time. At this point, three women have roses and five women don't. There are going to be four roses. Helpfully, two bonus women have already gone home. So, but, you know, obviously someone else is still leaving. So they're all very nervous. And Colton is in his head about this idea that, you know, there are some women there who aren't ready for a proposal and he doesn't know who they are. And
he doesn't want to ask
the people who were warning him about it. And Chris checks in and says, Colton's made his decision. There's going to be no cocktail party.
Thank goodness, you know.
They're like, Chris Harrison's like, we had enough of a dramatic group date. We don't need any more minutes. Let's just go straight to
we're done. Everyone wants to get to sleep in a reasonable hour.
The roses go to Hannah B., Kaylin, Cassie, and Heather. Every woman who got a rose at this rose ceremony is 23.
Are they really?
And blonde.
And blonde. I think
Hannah
all
B.
23.
Might be 24 now.
Really?
She had a birthday, remember?
Okay.
Because Heather started out 22. Yep. Hannah B. started out 23. And now they're both a year older.
Oh, another year wiser.
Yeah.
which means Katie is going home. And
this was very disappointing.
I really liked Katie.
I
really like Katie.
Yeah.
I did get the sense early on that she was holding back from him. I interpreted that as she's not as into him, but then she did sort of start to blossom out a little bit, but he had already
sort of moved on and developed relationships with other
blonde girls.
Blonde girls.
Yeah. Other blonder girls. I was surprised that he didn't give her a date. Like, some of the choices he made for dates, I did not understand. I don't know if it was production being like, gotta get a date in with Heather so you can have that sweet, you know, first kiss date.
I don't think he's that into Heather.
He doesn't seem...
I kind of thought Heather was gonna go home, but
I thought
it almost seems like, I don't know if he was allowing production to guide some of these choices or if he genuinely was more excited to hang out with Heather than Katie, but he seemed so excited about Katie and then she just disappeared.
Yeah. I thought she was gonna get a one-on-one this week.
Yeah,
too.
Me too.
So he walks her out and he tells her, you know, I was so excited about you, but there was just more to get out of you that I didn't get. And she says, this is the third time.
Yeah.
You have a great group of girls and you know who's ready in there. There are some that aren't.
He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Though he should be like, I don't know who's
ready.
Like,
yep, totally got it. And then she gets in the car and he's like, but who?
You had your chance, Colton.
Yeah. It's like when I do an interview for a story and then afterwards I'm like, gosh, I really wish they'd told me this. And then I'm like, right, I could have asked that. But in the moment, I'm always like, oh, yeah, totally. I totally hear you. I hear you, girl. Uh-huh. Like, absolutely. Because I want them to think that I know what's going on. And then afterwards, I'm like, I did not know what was going on.
The fence moment is going to be Colton jumping the fence, running after Katie to be like, who is it?
Who is she? I need to find out. I mean, he also kept teasing the fence jump.
Yeah.
On Twitter. And it was not this episode.
It looks like it's next week.
I mean, I don't believe. I don't know what to believe anymore.
What if it's not even Colton? That was just something that they made.
He has his
body double. Distinctive silhouette.
He does. Yeah.
I hope it's at the finale.
Oh, he tells the other the other women, like, someone here isn't ready.
Yeah. I've been told.
By he says three people.
She's now the third person to leave saying that there are people in the house who aren't ready for a proposal, and now I need answers.
Mm-hmm.
What's...
Tayshia thinks she knows.
Interesting. Yes. So Tayshia, at this point, they're all still standing together, all the girls. And Tayshia turns to Kirpa and says, in a not too quiet whisper... It's us two at the end. It's literally us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they can hear you. Yeah. Like, what are...
Also, I don't think you're
also,
correct.
Also, it's not going to be you two at the end.
Yeah.
But I see what she's... She's like, we are the only ones who are not, like, basically 23.
Yeah.
We are the ones who are experienced in dating, who are ready for a real commitment. And that's what Colton says he wants. So it's got to be us. But in fact, what they should be seeing is that Colton clearly wants a 23-year-old.
They should be looking at the other four by comparison.
Right, and being like, why are we the only ones who are not 24? And I also was sort of like disappointed in Tayshia. I was like, this is kind of rude, and I expect more from you at this point.
I will say at this point in time, though, you're kind of like, it is... Like when you walk in the first week in like two, you kind of have and you see people interact with like the lead. You do definitely go, yeah, OK, I know who's not going to be here in like 4 weeks and who is like. And it was very accurate with like what I assumed based on just like seeing people who they are. And so like I give her a little bit of that of like, I mean, you're trying to figure out what the game is, too, you know. But
I just wouldn't talk about it right
in
next
front
to
of
them.
Everybody.
Yeah, that's why.
How could you not notice that they're right there?
It's a little Survivor-esque. Like.
Yeah, and like, listen, I love the confidence. In the credit sequence, we see Demi again. She is showing him gifts that her mom sent her from prison, little crafts. And they're very impressed by the crafts. That's the end of the episode.
It was a very awkward
weird credit sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We usually don't see someone who's been sent home like just pop up in the final credits.
I feel like they do that, but usually it's like a
extremely
funnier.
Funny. Yeah.
And not like a little
not like
poignant.
Oh wow, another intimate moment that we should not have seen.
Yeah. Any final takeaways on this episode? Did this change your perspective on any of the contestants?
I'm just surprised that Kirpa's there, but I'm glad that she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I feel like she's going home next week.
Yeah.
I mean, next week they get down to hometowns, and I feel pretty confident that, like, Hannah G, Kaylin, Cassie, and Tayshia are going to be final four.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just think Hannah B, like, there's going to reach a point.
I think she's going to meet his parents. We see a clip of her meeting his parents.
Yes, but I think that might be like a, you know, when they've gone to the hometown.
That's also a date that you give to someone that you see as like a top contender. It would be surprising to me if he gave her.
I feel like that's a filter date.
I mean, like,
maybe. I would be surprised if he would give it to her and then
not
like unless he saw her as a very strong hometown contender.
I mean, I think he sees her as a hometown contender, but I think she's going to be the last person eliminated. Like, I think Kirpa and Heather will go first.
Mm.
And then
I think it's
Hannah.
That, like you said, Tayshia, I mean, getting this, like, group date rose is super huge. That is almost...
Is it, though? Because you got the group date rose episode. And what happened next?
Then I went home.
Yeah, interesting.
I don't know. I feel like he and Tayshia have a really good connection.
I hope you're right.
That's what I think.
I hope you're right. I don't agree,
like,
but I hope you're right.
Nick gave his, like, I'll show you my life in Wisconsin date to, like, D'Lo. That didn't go.
That was really early on, though.
Also,
that was really early.
Yeah, that was early on. And
that was, like, their first date.
Ari took a crystal to his house.
I think that was, like, his first date.
Yeah.
Those were both very early dates. Mm-hmm. And I think that he saw them both, like, he saw Crystal as a front runner at that point.
I still stand strong with my predictions.
I think it's very late to, like, to take a girl to meet your parents unless you plan to meet their parents.
I think it is late, and I think that's why it's going to be even more emotionally crushing when he sends
her
home.
Yeah. I'm just surprised that we haven't seen much more of Kaylin. Because, like, we saw her one-on-one, and she's basically been non-existent, so.
Do you think she's going to be the Bachelorette?
I don't know.
Who do you
she's
see as the Bachelorette?
She's the only one who has a story right now.
Yeah.
Besides Tayshia.
Tayshia has a story, and I do think that it would be hard to have, like, a 24-year-old bachelorette.
Yeah.
It's dipping really young.
I agree. I don't think it's ideal.
Although I think it's
easier
to have...
I still think they'll cast her, though.
Mm-hmm. I think it's easier to have a 24-year-old bachelorette than a young bachelor. Because then, like...
Well, they'll just be like, it's fine. You should just date a bunch of 37-year-olds.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, I don't know.
Can't wait to see what they get. I mean, they're increasingly bottlenecking. Like, they're going to have very few options who made it far enough to be bachelorette who are over 24.
You've got basically four copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's Tayshia or it's a 23-year-old blonde.
Yeah. Like,
So can't wait for next week. Maybe we'll get the fence jump. It's really all we're watching for at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys again.
Yeah, come back anytime. And now it's time for Feminism Fails. And you know what? We got off pretty light this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty low-key week for sexism. We had a couple light notes. Kaylin, at one point in the episode, says that Hannah G has always gotten by on her beauty, and there's really no other layers there. We're going to give this a 2. Like, it's totally fine to criticize other women and to even, you know, question whether they have some sort of beauty privilege and that sort of thing. But it did smack a little bit of, like, she is beautiful and therefore doesn't really have other qualities, which is insane, of course, because Kaylin is also beautiful. They're all beautiful.
Yes.
And they all have inner lives as well.
Exactly. And then we see Tayshia, Sydney, and some of the, I'm going to use the word older in quotes here, women dismiss some of the younger women as not ready for marriage. We're going to give that one a 2. Again, like, it is possible that some of these women, probably most of them, regardless of whether they are, you know, 26 or 24, are not ready for marriage. I mean, look, there's a lot of women who are older than that who aren't ready for marriage
or just don't want to get married.
Right. There are lots of reasons, or maybe, like, just don't want to marry Colton. That's also a possibility. So, you know, we're going to give this one a 2 as well. Just always good not to dismiss a whole group of women based on, you know, your assumptions about what a few extra years in the world has given you.
It's a lesson we're still trying to learn.
Yeah,
ourselves.
I mean, I just, you know, look, we have already established that we are old hags, so we need to hang on to.
And we're bitter.
Yeah, we're bitter. So
at least we're open about it. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Derek Peth, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And of course, give us a 5-star rating so you don't miss a moment of Colton's season recaps. You can also give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be back on Tuesday, hopefully, to talk about that fence jump.
Big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in store and on menards.com, and check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.